Yeah, talking about eufy.com. The Eufy video lock is unbelievable. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Best Buy stores starting on May 20th. What is it? It's a smart lock, 2K cam, and doorbell, 3-in-1, triple security, so you can have everything you need in one device rather than install many pieces on your front door. It's not just for security, but also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys like my wife. You can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated camera. It's easy to install and set up with just a Phillips head screwdriver, no drilling required. It's got a keyless entry. No more fumbling for the keys. When hands are full, never worry about kids losing keys or passing among the renters of your house. You got a rental property out there, this is a must-have. I love this product. Just got it a couple weeks ago. Huge fan. Have the Ring camera. It's okay. It's not as great as this, so I swapped it out. Go to Eufy Video Lock today on YouTube. That's EUFY Video Lock, or visit EUFYOfficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your front door.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com.
Yeah! We live, D'Anthony?
We are, yeah. There's a boat stuck in the Suez Canal. It's so great.
Fucking drink.
I didn't think this was a real picture, by the way.
I mean, it seems ridiculous, right? That somebody could get themselves in that predicament. It's like Austin Powers.
Yeah.
It's like Austin Powers trying to turn around in that hallway. Like, come on, man.
It really seems weird. I didn't think it was real. I thought it was surely just a meme, and that was it, of like, you know, hey, this is a metaphor for where we're at as a nation or maybe as a world. But turns out, no, there is indeed a boat stuck sideways in the Suez Canal. How does that even happen is my question.
I don't know. It's like maybe they decided to let the intern drive the boat that day. Probably not a great day for that. Maybe do that out in the open water. Let them learn to parallel park a 60,000-foot vessel on their own time.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Man, what the fuck?
I've never seen anything like this, and I'm almost speechless because, Bob, if you can pull up the photo, there's a little tiny crane that is trying to get this thing out of the ruts or the
meme? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little tiny crane that they're trying to get this thing out of. And they've got no shot at this. So what are they going to do for weeks and weeks and weeks?
I mean, what I would do, what the meme that I've seen is that they got Godzilla and what's the other one?
King Kong.
King Kong to work together to lift the boat and twist a little bit. Like, think Ross. Pivot, right? From Friends.
Right.
That's what I'm thinking now. I don't know how else they're going to get this done, to be honest. They may as well just blow that thing in place.
I mean, look at this little tiny crane here. What were they hoping to do with
that? The crane is digging the mud out.
Ah, gotcha, gotcha, gotcha.
So it can
gotcha,
try
okay.
to use its rear fucking rear drive to get the fuck out of there. But that's, you know, I mean, it looks like they slammed into it pretty hard. So who knows? And I don't know how much of that vessel is underwater. There's probably at least 40 to 80 feet of that vessel underwater.
I don't even know what you do here with something like this.
Well, I mean, Aquaman could come in handy right now, but he's off making fucking movies.
Momoa.
Yeah, fuck Momoa. That guy. I mean, Jason Momoa's really failed us when we needed him most.
Wow.
I blame this mostly on Jason Momoa.
On the whole Suez Canal sitch?
Yeah, I mean, if he had been doing his job, this would have been solved before we even knew about it.
That's true. Did he do that in the Aquaman movie? Did he free a boat?
No, I think it's mostly about human beings and wildlife and shit like that.
All right.
You know, look, the boat is, what's in those containers?
Hopefully drugs. Yeah. One never knows what's in those containers.
No.
I'm still surprised that we have to ship things in by boat or train or things like that. Whenever I see shit like this, I'm like, what are you shipping in on
a
boat?
Most stuff.
Really?
Yeah. So about 80, I think it's like 80 some percent of the carbon pollution that happens in the world comes from these boats.
And I understand that. So why are we still doing it, I guess? Why isn't it in jets or anything else?
Well, we tried to catapult stuff across the ocean and it didn't work. They kept landing in the wrong spot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I think we should just put them all on rubber dinghies like Ellie and Gonzalez and hope for the best.
Well,
It worked out for Alien.
Yeah, that way God gets to decide who gets fed and who doesn't.
Yeah, I agree.
And then we have somebody to blame.
I agree. My wife's mom takes trains a lot.
She's the last one.
Yes. From Oregon to California all the time. She's got some property up there. And we didn't know if we were going to get to see her on this last trip out to L.A. because she called and said, hey, a train hit a garbage truck. Like a garbage truck got stuck on the track.
Now, I feel like train intersections with highways or roads or whatever, typically very long straightaway.
Yeah.
And they also are required by a law to slow down when they're coming through certain ones.
Right.
So if you're a garbage truck.
Yep.
How much time exactly do you need? I feel like getting hit by a train is the same as getting run over by a fucking Zamboni.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You had plenty of time to see that shit coming.
I don't know if it stalled or what the sitch was, but I said, well, that sounds like a lot of damage. And she said, yeah, it's a lot. And it's extensive. What does it take to fix something like that? She said they're looking for a new train engine right now, and they're going to bring that in because obviously the front car got smashed to bits as well, and they got to bring in a new train engine and all that other stuff. And I was like, does that exist anymore? And where do you get something like that? Because it seems heavy, right?
Yeah, like Home Depot doesn't have train engines lying around.
So I go, what did they do? Like, you guys were obviously stuck for, I think it was close to 2 days. And she said, they let you out like it's the 1950s and you just kind of walk off to the side and then they'll pull the whistle.
Oh, wait. So she was on the train when it
physically hit. On the train. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
She probably didn't feel that much other than a bit of a thud.
Correct.
Because it's so heavy.
Correct.
Well, especially, I don't know how many cars were in that line, but
it's a lot.
You don't want to get hit by a train is the short story there.
Right. So they brought in a train engine. And as I'm hearing this whole story, I was like, I turned to Jesse. I was like, who the fuck is still in trains anymore?
I don't know, man.
Same with the really Suez Canal thing. Why are we still driving these huge ass ships to the Suez Canal? It's not that big of a canal, you know? It's pretty narrow.
No, we should probably widen it out a little bit.
Well, it's too late now, Dan.
Why?
Boat's stuck in there.
No, I mean like in the future, bro.
Who's gonna do that?
This is a good rule of thumb. Take the biggest boat, turn it sideways, and it should be at least that wide. You know what I mean? I mean, Jesus Christ, man, what are we doing here?
I don't know, man. But when I saw this, I look at like 9 different things because I was like, there's no way that's real. Yeah. Somebody just made a meme of it and that's it. And sure enough, that's going down right now.
You don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be this guy. You don't want to be the Exxon Valdez guy.
No. I mean, no.
It's like the two most embarrassing ship-related things of all time.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got the two of those things. And then along with my wife's mom hitting a, you know, just age, being in a train and doing that on a regular basis.
It's a weird
because
thing. Although a lot of people.
She enjoys it. She said it's comforting.
A lot of people take the train from like the Bay Area to San Jose, South Bay, and then all the way down to L.A. because it has Wi-Fi on it.
It does. Correct.
Right. So like work and shit while you're doing it. And it's quicker. Like it's still like 8 hours to get to L.A., I think 8.5 hours from the Bay Area. But if you're going for a week to work and you don't want to fly and deal with that bullshit, and you want to be able to work in route.
Yeah.
I guess that's cool.
Yeah.
Right. But otherwise, fuck that, dude.
Yeah, that's what I say. Hey, Chuck. Chuck is still here in the studio. You just finished recording. Stand behind Dan real quick. We're live on YouTube. Show him the Gay for Straight shirt. We just got those sent in.
Yeah.
Huge fan of these. Go to a single on Dan real quick here. Look at that.
We all
look at that. Gay for Straight.
We're big George Strait fans around here.
Huge George Strait fan. And so are you.
I am a big George Strait fan.
Yeah, it looks great on you, Chuck.
It does.
Yeah, how can you be an album that's 50 number one?
50 number one.
Yeah.
The dude's like, it's.
He's the best. He's
Tim and Garth Brooks.
He's the most prolific artist of any kind.
Of all time,
Of all time in the U.S., for sure.
Thank you, Chuck.
Yeah.
No yeah. Now you just look like Dan's bodyguard.
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a Sunday afternoon live on Drinking Bros, having some beers. We got the March Madness on in the background.
Gonzaga
Fun
beat
day.
The Christ out of Creighton.
I
can't believe that spread was only 11 points. They won by like 30, man.
Here's what happened. Hot Bob, I tried to get on and post my bets like I do every day from mybookie.com. Again, promo code Drinking Bros doubles your deposit. Mm. It's where I do my gambling, right? I post all my bets every single day. I was 2 for 3 yesterday. I only missed that Syracuse game. The only game that I liked today that I bet on was Gonzaga, and I threw an Ariana Grande on it.
Yep.
I went to go and post it on Drinking Bros, and they said, Drinking Bros Sports, which is a private Facebook group. Anybody can sign up, but the one rule is don't be a cunt. Apparently, I was one. They banned me for 24 hours when I said, hey, who's got the Sister Jean nude link, because I want to see Sister Jean's nudes. She's 104 years old, and they gave me a 24-hour slap on the ding dong for
it. Is that real? Does she really have nudes out there?
No, it was a joke. But that's the thing. So
how can you not? You can. So what if I say I want to have sex with a whale, man? Hell yeah! Like that's something you could do. There's even in California, if you're making a threat towards someone,
yeah.
For it to rise to the level of assault, it has to be something that I can do right now. So, for example, if I said, I'm going to beat you to death with a baseball bat, but I don't have a baseball bat, I've not committed a crime yet. So even in crazy-ass California, which, by the way, the Supreme Court just ruled that if you can't afford cash bail, regardless of the crime, you're out.
They really?
You out. Oh, yeah.
Ah,
oh, yeah.
And I like
then,
that.
Then in Oakland, there's a universal basic income, but not for white people.
Ah,
I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
The city council passed a bill where this is the craziest shit I've ever heard in my life. Where low-income families, provided you're black or brown, get $500 a month.
Oh, I heard that. Yes.
White,
yes.
Literally, in the bill, it says white people are not eligible. Like, how the fuck is that okay to do that? They're going to have a federal lawsuit immediately. Like, what? Why would you even think that's okay to do that?
Hammer the like button if you're watching on YouTube. I'm chuckling because out of the corner of my eye, we have a screen here, and I caught Hot Bob Googling Sister Jean porn. And I'm like, man, should this have been a Patreon episode or not? Pop those open. Is there actually Sister Jean? No. Eesh. If there was a... All
right.
These are...
Right now, Ross, we got dueling Googles, actually.
Yeah.
You got two. Baba G versus Hot Bob in the Google off.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just going to be Elsa Jean, the porn star, being somebody's sister. That's all you're going to find.
Got it. Okay, yeah. So we're not good. Thank God. She's a nun, I think.
This one's not a nun. That girl with the penis in her mouth right there is definitely not a nun.
No, definitely. Yeah. She's not, but the 100 and... Was she 101, Bob? Yep. Yeah, she's 101. The one for Loyola Chicago. She is...
Why didn't you put news? I mean, 101 is just going to add some kind of fucking... some kind of school element to it, probably.
101 years old. There you go. Yeah. 101's going to make her like a freshman college course. Pop her up on screen in case you don't know who she is. That way people know what we're talking about here, because that would be. So if there was nudes of Sister Jean, clearly I made a joke on Facebook. Facebook's algorithm does not understand comedy. And here's where I'm going with this, Dan, is this like you said, if you're going to beat somebody with a baseball bat or whatever, since it's algorithms and not humans doing this, they will never understand comedy. Therefore, it's like, all right, great. I got a 24-hour ban. Now the audience missed out on winning $1,000 on Gonzaga today, because that was my lock of the day. It was the only game I bet today.
Yep.
But here we are. A couple of silver spoons stuck in the Suez Canal dealing with algorithms and all that other shit. The other top story that they buried from us over the weekend was the ex-CDC director, Robert Redfield. Not to be confused with...
he almost got there.
The actor.
He was almost a really good baseball player or a general. But neither of those things. Sorry.
Robert Redfield, the ex-CDC director, came out Friday night and said, I believe that the coronavirus was created in a lab in Wuhan, and then it escaped the lab, is what he's saying. He was under Trump... Why now? And then why do this interview with CNN now? Is there something coming down?
Here's what I've heard from people that I know that are virologists. They are frightened to say anything right now because...
Why? Because of China?
No, not because of China. Because people and the media will light them the fuck up. And the Biden administration in general will box them out completely if they say anything. Which means keep in mind that a lot of these people, particularly virologists and other types of public safety health professionals... most of their funding comes from government-backed funding grants, right?
Yeah.
So you start coming out and saying some shit like this. This guy is done now, so he doesn't give a shit. But if you're actively, if you're like 25, 35, 45 years old, and you're in the middle of your career, and you come out and say something that they don't agree with politically, you're fucked. That's a real fucking problem, by the way.
Yeah.
You should be able to say what's true. And if there's a penalty for speaking the truth, that is not a problem with the truth. That is a problem with society.
Right? I 100% agree. So he sits down and does this interview with CNN. He says he believes the virus came from a lab in China, which we've been saying on the show for, what, day one since it came out? I was there's no, you want to tell me that it was a guy eating a bat?
Yeah. I don't remember who said it, but somebody used to say the word China really funny. Who do you remember?
China.
Oh, yeah.
China.
That was that guy, yeah.
But this guy worked under Trump. Clearly, Trump must have known.
Sure.
So here's what I'm grappling with the entire weekend, okay? First of all, why didn't Trump trot this guy out and say, hey, man, tell me what you told me in my office or what you believe, unless you just recently started believing this magically 2 months after Biden got in?
Right.
Second part of this question I have for you, Dan, is this. Since you have this information, does Biden do anything?
No. Well, he doesn't know where he is.
I understand that.
But what you're asking is, will the Democratic leadership do something? And that's Pelosi, Schumer, et cetera.
Yes.
Right? And even to some lesser degree, Kamala Harris. So no, they're not going to do shit. They don't care, right? I mean, people that have watched the show for a couple of years now know that I sign up for all the lefty, I sign up for everybody's email list.
Right.
On one of my dummy accounts. Mm-hmm. So all the political emails, I get every single one of them. What Gavin Newsom is talking about right now being recalled in Florida, what the fuck, in California?
California, yeah.
He's like, this is fucking insane right-wing conspiracy against me in California led by people who stormed the Capitol. I'm like, so you're telling me that the 300 hillbillies that stormed the Capitol were able to come to California and convince 1.8 million Californians to sign a document that says they want you to fuck out? If so, then you're even worse than we thought you were.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If that's as low as the bar was to get you the fuck out of there, then maybe you should shut the fuck up, dude. That's their fucking messaging. So they're not going to believe anything.
No, but I look at all of this. It's all a mess. Trump got blamed for 500,000 deaths, right?
Yeah.
And they're still pushing that narrative. So right after this interview, the next day was they got all the doctors, Sanjay Gupta, who has been making the rounds for the last year. They got all the doctors together. It was that Birx chick. I forget her fucking first name, Dr. Birx.
Yeah.
B-I-R-X. She got on there and said, you know, all I can think of, if Trump would have acted faster, he could have saved 100,000 lives or whatever. It was like,
if he had acted, did you need me to fucking pull up the videos of Fauci saying that this wasn't a big deal? Like by January 28th, where he was saying you don't need to wear a mask and shit, even into February, like shut the fuck up, dude. Give me a fucking break. What we did know from the very beginning. So they really like to retwist this narrative into something that fits them because Trump was so disliked. But in reality, everybody was saying the same thing for the first month and a half or so, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, there's just no accountability on the back end of that, right? Like, they just start saying, and again, with that stuff, what difference does it make if we found out that China was responsible for this, even through negligence, right?
Right.
What's the result of that? To hold them accountable, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're an American and you're walking around and you think just one random Asian person you meet is somehow responsible for the government's decision in a country they don't even live in anymore, you're a fucking moron.
Right.
And you deserve whatever's coming to you, to be honest. But that's why I don't believe this fucking anti-Asian narrative. I don't believe it.
I don't either.
And if it is true, then those people are fucking stupid. Those people should have been off the streets in the first. If somebody's dumb enough to think that way and then commit violence because of that thought, they should be in prison for the rest of their lives because they don't belong in normal society. You're a fucking retard if you think that way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there's just been no accountability at all because we can't even tell each other true things without offending people.
Yeah, and it's strange. And again, like, I grew up right around that area where those shootings happened for the anti-Asian thing, and like, it wasn't hatred towards Asians. It was the opposite. He had a little too much love for them.
Yeah.
Paid them some money. And that story has not been reported either. Like, they were jack shucks, to put it politely. I don't want anyone to die, obviously. But fuck, man. It wasn't like he was just going door to door looking for Asian people or whatever. It's a weird narrative to pin on that. It was just a fucking crazy dude who can't get any girls, the neckbeard guy that you always talk about in the basement and all that other shit. But all these stories keep popping up, and you read them, and you're like, what's real and what's not? Even this fucking virologist said, he goes, look, I'm sure the media is going to say whatever they want. I'm sure you're going to pull up every other doctor you want on this. You're not going to know until somebody does like a documentary on it in like 10 years, which is probably true. Netflix will probably have a banger in 10 years on all this shit.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe if Netflix isn't owned by Jeff Bezos by then.
Maybe. But, as far as like Biden and them doing anything towards this, no.
What's he going to do? They're not going to hold China accountable for anything.
Man,
Obama was one of the weakest presidents on China that we've had in a very long time.
But if it were me and you cut off trade, but I guess we need them for too much trade,
they need us more than we need them, for sure.
That's what I think.
That's not a thought. That's a fucking fact.
Yeah.
Right? They're still a deeply agrarian society, right? Still heavily invested in manufacturing. We are not.
Right.
We can consume and continue to consume from wherever it comes, right? And still have our economy turn over pretty well. They, if they do not export their goods, not so well.
Right.
So they're not in the driver's seat. That's why having a trade deficit with them is such a big deal. Us buying more of their shit than they're selling off to somebody else, or that they're keeping themselves, or that they buy from us, is a good deal for us.
That's what I would like to see happen if I had my druthers. Is, hey, let's just cut off China for as long as we can, because they killed, 5 million people worldwide with a virus escaped from their lab.
Maybe.
That, to me, would be great, but it's not going to happen.
Right.
We talk about AMC going to the moon. Obviously, we've got laser eyes and diamond hands here. That King Kong movie came out over the weekend. King Kong versus Godzilla. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about Hollywood needing China, man? $122 million it made overseas. That movie it came straight to HBO.
Yeah.
So it is on HBO here, and you can just watch that. It's not in theaters. Mm-hmm. $122 million opening weekend over in China. Hollywood will continue to bow down to China.
Yeah, of course they will. So will the NBA.
Forever.
That's to me. So the NBA will threaten to boycott a game, right? They sit out games because some dude got shot because he was, or some woman got shot because she was in her fucking drug dealer boyfriend's apartment. And based on the evidence we've seen post-event, she was deeply involved in his drug trade.
Right.
Right? The guy shoots at the cops, they shoot back and hit her, and guys are now ready to fucking boycott games. But LeBron James, you fucking cunt, aren't really ready to do the same thing when the Uyghurs are getting put in internment camps and murdered by the Chinese government at large. You're a fucking piece of shit, LeBron James. Fuck you. What a cunt. You care more about money, right, and image than you do actual human beings. And everybody can tell. Nobody believes your fucking bullshit, and nobody believes that your hair is growing in. You're bald and you're a little bitch.
And that's what you get from a Sunday afternoon show. And I love it, but it's true. They're sponsored. The Lakers are sponsored by Wish, which is,
like the ultimate irony right there.
It's on their jersey.
Yeah, I know. What a fucking cunt.
Oh, man. We're not going to do anything about this. Nothing is going to happen.
A new shirt that says all LeBron James are cunts.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only the one of them, but he's definitely a cunt. So I feel like it's an accurate statement. You can't really fucking sue me if it's true. Wait, who's the other LeBron James?
His son.
Oh, Bronny.
Oh, that's right. Bronny. There's a junior. Yeah, there's Bronny. A junior, yeah.
Bronny Jr.
Yeah. I forgot they got a junior in there.
Yeah, he's probably a cunt.
I don't know anything about him. We'll keep him out of it. I don't know anything about the kid. I know he goes to the private school he goes to in Santa Monica, and they're like, oh, yeah, he's going to be an NBA player. He's probably playing against 5'5 white kids. Rich kids in Santa Monica. He's playing against fucking Dustin Hoffman's kids. Like, he's dunking over Dustin Hoffman's kids.
With Dwayne Wade's kid.
Yeah, yeah. They said Dwayne Wade's kid wasn't even good enough already for the NBA.
Bronny looks like he's probably going to play in the NBA, to be honest.
Maybe.
But who knows? Yeah, it's an
you never know, man.
It's an impossibly high standard. Like, you're not going to be LeBron, probably. And if you are, holy shit.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be great, to be honest. It'd be great for the sport if he came, because we've never seen... We talked about this on the sports show a couple times. The guys we've seen who are truly great, their children usually aren't. Their fathers weren't if they played before them. So the only example where both guys were great was Bobby and Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
People forget about Bobby Bonds. He was the first 44, or he was closest to 40-40 the first time before Canseco actually did it. He was a 30-30 guy four times in his career. Everybody forgets about this shit because of how great Barry was. Even Ken Griffey Sr. wasn't nearly as good as Junior. And look, Bobby wasn't as good as Barry either, but he was a lot closer than anybody else has come. I mean, what father-son combinations have both been great in the history of all sports?
That's it. That's the only two I can think of off the top of my head. The Winslows, I mean, had
maybe,
a shot at
maybe
it.
Maybe Archie Manning, but he wasn't that great, right?
Well, he was pretty good. His circumstance. Yeah, I mean, he just kept getting drilled. He was like the David Carr of that generation.
So he could have been. But talent-wise, he probably was that good. But then you had Eli Payton. I mean, that's a big deal, right? You had two Hall of Famers, basically, as sons. So if he had not been hurt, that might be the best example. But he did get hurt, so that's not how things work. Speaking of NFL, we have a very special guest coming on just in a few days.
Tuesday, yeah.
Wednesday morning now.
Oh, is it Wednesday morning? Yeah. Okay, great, great. Yeah. I'm super amped for that. Mm-hmm. We're not going to say who it is because we worry about these guys bailing. You know, like, all right, great. This is the first time we've done this show, I think, live on a Sunday, and it goes out Sunday. We should, Bob, we should call this the weekend roundup here because there's been so many crazy stories that have gone on over the weekend. This next one I like, and it's super fucking odd. The Lil Nas X shoes. Can you pull those up, Hot Bob?
Do they have like tassels on them and shit?
No. So he did these Satan shoes, and they contain real human blood. And they're actually pretty fucking dope. I mean, you're Satan and all that stuff.
They look cool, but what's the point?
There's a 666. I think he's got a new album coming out, and I would imagine it's something to do with the new album or whatever. But where's the human blood at? Where do they put it?
I'm assuming it's in the gel, in that gel sole.
Ah, I like that. Whose blood is it? Is it his?
I hope it's his.
Shit.
Makes it more valuable, right?
One would think. Yeah, when I saw this, I was like, all right, fuck. And they sold out in like 10 seconds, obviously. But when you're starting to put real human blood inside shoes, now you have my attention. Now you have my attention, and I want that shit.
Well,
the last time I saw human blood on somebody, this is a true story, was Angelina Jolie. Yeah.
Yeah,
I had to. One of my first gigs was working at this fucking thing, and
at the Oscars.
Yes,
right? Yeah.
And I served them food, and they were both wearing each other's
like a vial of blood, yeah,
around their neck, just going at it in this fucking limo.
I remember when she first said that in public. It was on, I think it was on Conan's show, and she laughed the same way Kamala Harris laughs now.
Yes,
she's like, it's like, oh shit, are you okay? Do we need to call the paramedics in here or what? Like,
that was a good time.
I love him so much. I've got his blood on me. Like, okay, that sounds a little Army Hammer there, honey.
It's,
you want to calm the fuck
down. Sweet, Dan.
No, it's not sweet. That's not sweet. Coming inside of your wife and making her walk around in public with the cum still inside of her, that's sweet. All right? Blood is not sweet.
So the shoes are the Nike Air Max 97s, which, I'm a gigantic fan of those anyways. And it comes with one drop of human blood. They're not saying who the human is. A Nike spokesperson is telling he's saying that the company has nothing to do with the creation or the sale of these, which is probably not true. But
it's got the swoosh on the side.
Yeah.
If they're not involved, then they can sue him for copyright infringement or trademark infringement.
It's one of these things where, George, you know more about this world than we do. They do these one-offs with these shoes
what was like the Travis Scott McDonald's thing too?
Yeah, the collab.
There was the Travis Scott burger at McDonald's for a while. It was the same stupid bullshit.
Yeah, and he's got the cacti out now, and he's got a shoe, and it sells out, and they don't put them back anymore. So
no, and then they go and sell them the resale market, and it's that's for hype anyway.
It is, and it's great.
It's just to drive attention. It's just
if Homeboy's got a new album out, which I'm assuming is the case, probably with these shoes.
Or a single at least.
Oh, he's got a new single where he fucks the devil?
What's the result of that, though? Is the devil... So he's got a new single, Bob says, where he fucks the devil. What's the result? Do they have a kid together?
They have a baby.
They move to the suburbs? What happens?
Well,
I mean, like the Bible verse on the side of the shoe is Luke, 18:10? It's about how... or 10:18, rather. It's about Satan falling from heaven.
Like okay.
When Lucifer fucking pissed God off and got booted.
Yeah. 25 million views. This thing's already racked up on YouTube.
Yeah, the music video is not going to help us. Can you look up the lyrics and see if they end up in a loving...
Look, this is one of the most elaborate things I've ever seen. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the video looks cool.
Lil Nas X has got some money, dude. Whoa, he is a male straight. So he's really leaning into I'm gay like that. If there was a doubt, right, that Lil Nas X was gay, he's really leaning into it now.
But there wasn't any doubt, just so we're clear on that.
He's got these little panties on that are made of leather, and he's getting fucked by the devil. Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
All right. Well,
this is on YouTube. Great. So my child will probably pull this up later and then have a lot of questions because you can't really stop this.
Is that a reverse 69? What's happening there?
There's a lot going on in this video.
Yeah, this is.
We maybe should have made this a Patreon. Jesus Christ.
This is really, really inappropriate.
It's very.
Oh, but he killed the devil.
Very male bondage.
So now he's the devil.
Oh, now he becomes the devil.
Spoiler alert.
Ah.
Lil Nas X is now the gay devil.
Is now the gay devil.
I mean, look, this is basically an episode of South Park, right?
Yeah.
The devil is super gay in South Park. He was fucking dating Saddam Hussein for years.
Bob, we want to retract our previous statement and say thank you for pulling that up.
Yeah, yeah.
So yep. If you want to pull up the lyrics now, you can, but thank you for showing us that. Now it's up to 26 million views. Jesus Christ, dude. Lil Nas X is getting fucking paid. I mean, just absolutely paid this guy.
Still weird.
If you're gonna make gay black rap a thing, like, that's great.
I see. We have that's this. Great. We want to make a full on gay country album, right?
Yes, dude, it's my dream forever.
Yeah, just like super gay.
Hence the gay for straight shirts.
Yeah, that's the coming out party.
Drinkingbros.com has those shirts.
No puns.
They're live, right? Those shirts are live. Well, as soon as we walked into the studio today, Chuck Liddell was like, hey, man, you got any of those gay for straight shirts?
Yeah.
He
definitely wanted one.
Yeah.
I also gave him, so this is even funnier. Yesterday after we finished recording for Adam, we actually haven't announced this yet, but I guess we can today. If you'd like.
Let's do it.
So we got a new show starting.
On
our network starting in April. It's called Icebreakers, and it's Chuck Liddell and Adam Ray, the comedian Adam Ray. You see us post a lot of his shit. You've seen him on the show recently. Very funny guy. So that's going to be dope. So anyways, after we recorded one of the episodes yesterday, I gave Chuck one of these pedophile hunter hats.
Yeah.
And then he just went out into the ether for a while. Like, he was just out with his family rocking a fucking pet. And the funny thing is, people will see his face and then like double take. Oh, is that Chuck Liddell? And then they look up his head like, oh shit, what's he doing here?
Yeah.
Is he murdering pedophiles in Austin? Like, yeah, that's exactly what he's been doing. So if you see any news reports about pedophiles dying in Austin, keep your fucking mouth shut. Because it was Chuck Liddell, and he works with us now.
Whoa. Somebody, Marky Mark, he gave us $160. He said, much love from your biggest fan in Australia.
Oh, that's sweet.
Holy shit.
Thank you, buddy.
That's we'll spend fucking that on awesome, something dude. Cool. Yeah, we'll go out and rage tonight.
Yeah.
I caught an early flight in this morning.
That was a shit show, though.
Right? It was, but I want to say this. It was a crazy story. So I had to get up at 4 a.m. and fly back. Flights went in. My first flight out of Wilmington got canceled on American, so I had to rebook out of Delta and then go through another city.
Yeah,
because Wilmington is one of those cities that you got to make a stop no matter what.
Yep.
So I flew into Atlanta, and there was some other crazy fucking storm there, I guess, too. Mm-hmm. Because I was supposed to go to Charlotte, and then I rebooked and got it out of Atlanta. I went there, and the stewardesses were late because they were coming from another flight. And I said, "Hey, Bob, can you bring me my bag? Actually, I'll put this on air." I was kind of half sleeping in the chair over at Hartsfield Airport, just waiting. And these stewardesses, they all work together. I'm gonna pull this up if I can on the show.
I'm not sure if they're called stewardesses anymore.
Stews, whatever they are, the flight crew. Yeah, they're saying the flight crew. When they walked up, like, obviously everybody's agitated, impatient, and everything else. And they said, "Hey guys, we're sorry. There was a storm. Our flight was delayed from another flight, and that's why we're late to your flight. And that's the reason why I couldn't get going in time." And they were like, "Just know we haven't even had a chance to eat or anything else." And
don't really care about that so much.
But. Well, here's the thing. I always assumed that they just ate like what was on board.
Oh, is that not the case?
No, it wasn't. And one of them made a joke. There was a Popeye's chicken across the terminal, like right next to us, and they were like, "Yeah, so if anybody wants to get his Popeyes or whatever, that'd be great because we're starving. We haven't eaten in like 12 hours."
I probably would have done that, to be honest, just to get a little.
A little that.
No, not that. Just to get some. I feel like if I do that for you, then you got to let me break some rules. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's a straight up one for one trade. We get to break some rules.
So
do that.
I did. There was a guy. There was a guy next to me who goes, "This old man," and he goes, "Man, we should take up a collection and do that for you." And the flight crew or stewardesses, whatever you want to call them, stews. Yeah. They kind of chuckled and they got on the flight and got ready or whatever. And nobody really did anything. So I was just like, I looked over and I was like, there's only a couple of people in line. So I just bought all of them like a shit ton of Popeyes and brought it on the plane. And I go, look, I don't know if you guys were kidding or not. But here's a bunch of Popeyes chicken. They were like, no, we have not eaten in forever. Like, this is amazing. One of them like started tearing up and I was like, holy shit. I was like, I'm sorry. I was unaware. And I was like, you know, enjoy the food and thanks and everything else, right? Yes, I did get help the entire flight. I didn't have to wear my mask that much. It was great. Yeah. I got some booze. It was awesome, you know. But here's the craziest thing that I wanted to show on the show. I did not know this existed. They wrote me a personal thank you card from, and it's got like a Delta thing on the back, and it was handwritten, and it says, "We must find time to stop and thank the people who make a difference in our lives. It is because of people like you that we look forward to coming to work each day. Your act of kindness most definitely touched our hearts, and you are much appreciated. Grateful and full-bellied, DL, looks like either a T or a 1036 crew." So that was the flight crew.
Probably DLT for Delta, yeah.
Okay. And it was the flight crew for them. They flew from Atlanta to Austin. The reason why I wanted to chat about this today is you and I always talk about negative flight experiences.
Yeah.
All the time. I was unaware that they wrote hand personalized cards and did all this.
They actually, so a lot of them do. So Southwest has the same kind of card, but it's a drink voucher as well. It doubles as a drink voucher.
Ah.
So if you're a good Samaritan or act like a decent human being on the plane very frequently, they do that. They'll give you free drink vouchers and shit like that.
Because you and I have been flying through COVID.
Yeah.
We didn't stop, right? Yeah. We kept going. Sometimes it was just you and I on these flights.
Yeah.
And most of the people were agitated, didn't want to be there or whatever. Neither did we, I guess. No. But and they just kind of stopped serving. Things are slowly getting a little more back to normal, I'd say. But I to get a handwritten note for them for just some food was amazing. And I was like, hey, well, shout out that that crew. They were great. They were like the nicest ladies of all time. And I said, look, ladies, you know, as a white man, I did say this, no lie, I go, as a white man, I did my best at Popeyes. But if any white guy tells you that they're good at a Popeyes order, they're lying to you. All of them started dying laughing.
Maybe Amiri King.
But yeah, yes, well, Amiri is about the only one,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's him and fucking Woody Harrelson and White Men Can't Jump. There's only two guys. But
he
had street cred from dating Rosie Perez in the movie, so it's like he kind of gets away with it.
But they were all dying laughing, and they were like, where do you go? And I was like, well, you know, most of the white folks go to Chick-fil-A.
Right.
Because it's the only place that we know, you know? Chicken-wise
I mean, Popeyes is a little spicy.
I love Popeyes.
White people are afraid of spice, I'm telling you.
They are, yes. Yeah. I personally love Popeyes.
Especially northern Midwestern people. There's this phrase, particularly from the Norwegian community, spicy ketchup.
Yeah.
They're just referring to ketchup.
Yes.
Like, oh, that ketchup is a little spicy. And you mean like the salt or the vinegar?
Yeah.
It's really spicy because I don't think you know what that word means, asshole. Jesus Christ.
I love Popeyes. And we had a debate here on the show, was it 6 or 8 months ago, about who had the best chicken sandwich, spicy chicken sandwich?
Right.
Them or Chick-fil-A. I went and had both. But when I went to Popeyes to get that sandwich on the show, I had to wait in line for like 20 minutes just to get this fucking sandwich. And I said Popeyes won that battle.
Mm.
And I took some heat for it. I think that was the show that you said put the jelly on it.
Yeah, strawberry jelly on a Chick-fil-A spicy chicken sandwich.
Yeah, yeah.
One packet of jelly. People keep sending me videos of them getting the deluxe. No, you don't want jelly and then lettuce and tomato and mayonnaise and shit. That's disgusting.
Right. You just got to get it as
plain
is.
Plain-ass spicy chicken sandwich. I leave the pickles on because I like the flavor. But you know what I had recently? I can't remember where it was exactly. I think it was in Phoenix. It was a peanut butter and jelly burger, right?
Mm.
So it's bun and then peanut butter.
Yeesh. Right? I don't know if I could do that. Yeah.
And then burger, right? Then cheese and then some kind of like sweet, I think it was like apricot jam or some shit like that with a little bit of spice to it, some kind of chili or something in it.
Yeah.
Then bun. It was really fucking good.
Okay.
It's one of the best things I've had in a long time.
I'll always give these a shot.
Yeah.
Roscoe Truman says, if you haven't heard, Microsoft is poised to purchase Discord. This is going to change a lot of things. Cancel culture will rule and people will not be able to see. Is that true? Did that happen over the weekend? Are they looking at purchasing Discord, Rob? Microsoft? It wouldn't surprise me. Everybody loves Discord. That was where a lot of the Reddit guys were going for the stocks. But we'll check it out. In the meantime, while you look that up, we got some listeners here asking our top four favorite sauces. If I'm going Chick-fil-A, that Chick-fil-A sauce is number one with a bullet for me.
It's pretty good. It's hard to beat that.
That is one of the finest sauces in the land.
Mm-hmm.
I know people like that Szechuan one from McDonald's.
That was only because of Rick and Morty.
It was limited, yeah.
That's only because of Rick and Morty. That sauce sucks. Otherwise, it would always be there.
Yeah, that's what I said.
That's it.
That's what I said.
Fuck out of here, man.
But if we're going sauces, yes, I go, man, that Chick-fil-A sauce is the best.
It's really good, yeah.
That's the best in the biz for me personally. You know, if I'm looking at the other restaurants, like going down the biz there,
right?
There is something about the ketchup that comes out of the spout at McDonald's, not the packets. It's got to come out of that fucking spout. I don't know why, but I like it, and it's in the little thing, and that's it.
I don't know. Maybe it's like fountain soda drink. So a buddy of mine that's he shoots for a living, people mostly.
Yeah,
He's like the king of fountain Coca-Cola. Like, he just can smell the shit and he can tell you if it's good or if it's too heavy on the syrup or too light on the carbonation, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever the fuck. Some people take that shit seriously.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? I mean, they, like, if it's off a little bit, like, oh, hell no, man.
Yeah, yeah.
This ain't the Coke I grew up with. And I imagine it's the same way for sauces, right? You got to think.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there's no pump for the Chick-fil-A sauce.
No.
Like, it should just come in one of those big bags with the fucking spout on the end of it. You know what I mean?
It's too... Here's why they don't do it. It's too good, and I think everybody would overindulge on the Chick-fil-A sauce, and then...
I think you can buy it on Amazon now.
Can you... It's in stores?
Yeah.
Well, that's a smart move. When that Olive Garden salad dressing went in stores, too, I buy the shit out of that. I love that salad dressing.
Yeah, you can... Look, you can buy
them. I do. That's true.
You can buy them in these containers from Amazon.
No way. Yeah.
And it's prime, too. It'll be here tomorrow.
Ooh, I put that on my mama.
Garlic, herb, ranch, Polynesian sauce. That's a big one, too. Polynesian.
And the
Chick-fil-A sauce. It's a two-pack of 16-ounce ones for $20.
That's a little on the pricey side, but it's worth it.
Well, I mean, look, you pay for quality, right?
You do.
They also have a baby onesie, but I don't know if the baby comes with it or not.
If you can get the baby with it, then I think you're good.
It's $13.50. That's more than I would be willing to pay for a baby.
Yes, I agree.
I paid $400 to avoid babies.
Yeah, yeah, you know what I mean?
That's an abortion joke, folks.
In cash.
Yeah.
In cash. That's what you're going to get on a live Sunday show.
Do abortion clinics take Bitcoin?
No. Well,
find out.
Giorgio would know that answer.
Bob, find out if abortion clinics take Bitcoin.
Giorgio would know that answer for sure.
I need to start divesting.
For sure. Do abortion clinics take Bitcoin?
Yeah, just figure it out, guys. I don't want to hear a lot of the chatter over there. Yeah. Just figure it out.
No, they don't take Bitcoin, but they do have gift cards, and there's a buy six, get one free.
Oh, ooh. Shit. They punch the card, and is the punch hole in the shape of a baby?
It's a swipe now. They send you a text right after.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're just trying to get my data then. I prefer the old punch cards, to be honest.
Same.
That. Yeah, I was kidding. You didn't really need to look that up.
No.
Because obviously the answer is no.
The answer is no. They're not taking Bitcoin.
Bob now wants to know. He's not doing his job anymore. He's trying to find out if what I said is true. I promise you what I said is not true.
Not true. What we are going to say is true is that ghostbed.com/drinkitbros is the best mattress on the planet. Damn it. We had a bunch of listeners who showed up today just to rage, have some beers.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, hey, we bought the fucking ghost bed. And you were right. I wouldn't lie to you about that. A mattress is too big of a purchase. Like, I'm not going to lie to you about a mattress. I promise it's great. Otherwise, I just wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
And we've been hit up by other mattress companies before to be like, hey, can we do the thing? And I'm like, look, I love the ghost bed. Unless something horrifically goes wrong and a spring comes out and shoots right through my asshole, like that little Nas X video, then no, dude, we're rocking the ghost bed.
I mean, if you looked at it on the bright side, you could then bounce everywhere you went.
It's true. Like Tigger.
Like a pogo, but it's out of your butthole.
Yeah, like the Winnie the Pooh character, Tigger.
I think it's Tigger, actually.
Oh, is it? I'm not a. It's not a ER
you're not
on that
you're
anymore.
Not a, you're not a tiger. So you look, can use
they'll,
R.
Yeah, they'll fucking. If you're not a tiger, that's going to be the next thing that they take away.
Dude, let's make a T-shirt.
Cancel culture.
Let's make a T-shirt and it's Tigger, but it says Tigga, and he's like got a gold chain on or some shit.
Yeah.
Like clearly, there's something going on there, but you don't want to say out loud what it is.
Cancel culture.
Because no
kids.
Matter what you say, it's going to be wrong.
Forever, dude. Yeah. Forever. And we're gonna. The reason why we bring this up, we're gonna get to a story right after the sponsors about cancel culture and what it's done. Yet again to the media over the weekend, because there was another crazy story that was just like, what the fuck are you doing, CNN? But in the meantime, GhostBed.com's got 40% off bundle packages. So if you get a ghost bed and you get the adjustable base, you can bundle it together and get 40% off. You can do everything with that, but you got to get the adjustable base. Now, if you want 30% off, congratulations. Type in the promo code Drinking Bros, and that you can get that off of every singular item on the store at ghostbed.com/drinkingbros, and you're good to go. Or you can get a mattress, post a picture of it on the old Instagrams right here, tag at ghostbed, and then hashtag Drinking Bros with it, and they'll send you two free pillows. They've gotten a lot of those, and I feel bad because they're probably losing money.
Well, the tough pillows shit. Are dope, though.
Yeah, pillows are the best.
I mean, they're
the best. And that is like, hey, man, you guys made that deal, not me. So yeah. You got to live with it. Also, they get a 36-month pay-as-you-go program, no interest there. So you can couple all of these deals together and not pay any interest for 36 months at ghostbed.com/drinkingbros.
Oh, let's go. Whoa. With, let's do a little Cardomax today.
Yeah, you want to do Cardomax?
I feel like I need some energy. And we're only going to do Ghostbed and Cardomax today because all I need is to sleep and then be energetic. How do you feel about that?
You can't.
I need one of the two. I don't want to be fucking, nobody likes lukewarm bullshit. I want to be out of my mind, raged up on fucking energy intensifier, or I want to be asleep in my goddamn ghost bed.
Dude, I've had so much Cardomax today.
Yeah.
Look, I left at 4 a.m.
Not as much as fucking Chuck Liddell has had.
Was he pounding that shit today?
He cruises around with like 4 or 5 energy drinks and a fucking CBS bag half the time. Like, yes. Dude, you can just carry this shit around.
That's true. Yeah.
Like, come on, man. Yeah. You don't have to carry all that weight around.
And they're like, dude, what's he all hopped up on? I'm like, nothing, just energy drinks. Find him. He is in great shape, hopped up on energy drinks. He was drinking Cardomax. I've been drinking Cardomax all goddamn day. That's CardoMax.com. Promo code DB is a buy one, get one. So you get one whole bag for free.
Yeah.
Go to a single of Dan if you can here and show that bag. Boom.
Yeah.
Speaking of the energy intensifier.
Yeah, speaking of that shit, Sean Mattson, the CEO of the company, is going to be here tomorrow.
Yes.
Well, he's not going to be here, but we're going to do a show with him live at 1:30 p.m. Central tomorrow. So he's going to talk about the company, Cardomax, how it got started, the development. He's also going to talk about this crazy-ass bullshit he's doing with the bomb suit.
By the way, he is trying to break the Guinness World Record, right?
I looked it up. It's the bomb suit weighs about 80 pounds.
Oh, God.
I mean, what the fuck, man?
So he's going a full mile.
That's like having a fucking a 10-year-old strapped to your back, and then you try to run a mile.
I can't imagine that.
No, it's insane, dude. It did run a mile in the first place, to me, seems completely unnecessary. Why a mile? I'll run 10, 15 steps tops.
I think it's like the Roger Bannister thing where you just want to do it, right?
Maybe, yeah.
The mile thing. We got one more here. ExpressVPN.com/drinkingbros. No?
Yep.
No? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got it on my phone, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You want to protect your shit, Dan?
Protect your digital butthole, yeah.
Yeah, you got it, right?
Yeah.
You got to.
Well, you don't have to, but you should.
You should. At ExpressVPN.com/drinkingbros. Look. There's a lot going on these days, and they're trying to take everything from you. All your information, or look, the Netflix hides like thousands of shows and movies and all that stuff based on your location.
Mm-hmm.
You can beat all that by going to expressvpn.com/drinkingbros today and getting your money's worth.
You can watch porn at work?
Yes, watch porn at work. Over 90 countries to choose from if you want to. You can go there, unlock new shows. I'm watching a lot of like British shows now because Jessie's into that shit. She got way into like the royal family and everything. I can't get her into Peaky Blinders though.
Peaky Blinders is one of the best shows.
That's what I've heard
on Netflix.
Can't get her into it.
It was one of the Netflix originals.
Yes.
Like one of their very first originals. It is in, what's his name? Cillian Murphy.
Yeah.
Great fucking actor.
Isn't Tom Hardy in it too?
Tom Hardy is in seasons 2 through 4 or two and three, maybe a little bit in 4 as well. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a great fucking series. All around great series. One of the best.
All right. Look, you can do everything there. So be smart. Stop playing, dude. Stop playing with yourself. Stop paying full price, too, for streaming services and only get access to a fraction of their contents. Get your money's worth at expressvpn.com/drinkingbros. Don't forget to use this link for 3 extra months free. That is expressvpn.com/drinkingbros, E-X-P-R-E-S-S, vpn.com/drinkingbros, expressvpn.com/drinkingbros. I like to just hold it. I like to just hold it out there and tease it out there. The story that pissed me off the most over the weekend, which I wanted to get to, was the CNN thing.
Which one? I mean, they do a lot of stuff.
It was the accident that happened to the Grubhub driver, where two girls hijacked it, tasered him, and then killed the guy.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just an accident. Pull that up on the screen, Hot Bob. Pull up that accident. Just a little light whoopsies. Just a little bumpsy bears, yeah, there.
I searched CNN and Grubhub, and it's not showing up on.
It might be. Maybe it wasn't Grubhub. I forget what the fucking thing was. Maybe it's just a. Yeah, there he is, the delivery guy. Yeah.
It was 2 minutes.
DoorDash is what it was. There you go. There you go. I don't use Grubhub, so I don't really know. I don't use DoorDash either. I'm a Postmates guy through and through.
I use whatever.
Whatever's easier for you?
Hands on.
Oh, Uber Eats. There you go. Yeah, I knew it was one of those things.
I don't use Uber Eats.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're getting buried over the weekend for this because they said, you know, it was an accident.
Wasn't two white men?
Correct. So because it was two black girls, they posted that it was an accident.
Well, now, and, see, there, I'm reading the article, and their race isn't mentioned at all. It says two teenage girls.
There you go.
Interesting. Now, let's see if they...
So the tweets that they're getting buried for on here...
Their race is not mentioned anywhere in this article.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be, by the way.
Yep.
Because it's irrelevant. But if there were white people, the race would be mentioned.
Correct.
The story would be two MAGA supporting fucking Trumpers, white people murdered a fucking Pakistani immigrant.
But yeah. No. Yeah. Didn't. So what happened was CNN puts up this tweet to go along with this article, and everybody immediately raged because they described the horrific murder of the Uber Eats driver as an accident. And then they have actual footage of the dude. And it's crazy. Have you guys seen this video?
I've not seen it.
Dude.
You want to play that and I'll react to it?
Yeah, play it live on screen. I don't think we can play it on YouTube simply because somebody dies. But pop it up. Pop it up there. So you can see this thing. It is so gnarly that I was like, how bad can it be? I mean, this fucking car takes off. I mean, go to Twitter, by the way. You're going to have better luck there on Twitter. For that Hot Bob. But it was a 66-year-old guy. What happened was they had ordered some Uber Eats. He shows up, a 13 and a 15-year-old, tased him, tried to steal the food, and then carjacked the car. Here it is, Dan. You ready?
Yep.
Because of the tase, like his foot, I guess, just hit the... He was trying to get out of the car, and it hit the gas. Like, here we go. Oof. I mean, that dude is old as shit. And so you're watching, you're like, all right, great. How bad is this going to be? And this was a part of their article that went up, and it labeled it as an accident. Now, boom, the guy's getting tased, and he's still outside the car, and then all of a sudden there's a violent crash, and he died.
Mm.
And the comments on social media were like, hey, why are you picking and choosing what to name these articles and label these as? Like, this is clearly a violent murder that happened and not just an accident. Why'd you do it? And they didn't take it. They didn't take the tweet down. They changed it later to, and then there was it turned into a fatality or whatever, but,
it didn't turn into a fatality. A fatality was caused by people. Now this is
correct.
This would be negligent homicide and not murder, by the way, probably.
Okay, what's the difference in that?
The difference is the same difference between, there's a lot of soldiers standing around. What's that about?
I don't know.
Where is this?
D.C.
I was in D.C. Okay. Wrong place to do it.
Yeah, why are they helping her? They should be fucking putting her
I don't think they knew what happened because the car sped down the street and there was a violent crash, right?
And these two girls have been arrested, you said?
Yes. So they have been arrested now, but why CNN chose the wording they did pissed off a lot of people, and I think we know why. But what happens at 13, 15 years old? You don't get charged as an adult.
Oh, they were charged with felony murder and armed carjacking. Yeah, you can be charged as an adult at 13 or 15.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
No
Absolutely,
shit.
Yeah. They've been charged with felony murder and armed carjacking. That's armed carjacking is a big deal, too.
So here's the exact tweet from CNN that led to all this. Police said the girls, 13 and 15, assaulted an Uber Eats driver with a taser while carjacking him, which led to an accident in which he was fatally injured.
He was crushed to death.
Yeah. He was crushed to death in a horrific accident after he was fucking tased and hanging outside the vehicle. Obviously you can't hold anybody responsible for anything anymore, the media wise, right?
Sure you can.
Why would you do this? Why would you say this?
What do you mean why? You know why.
I know why, Dan, but fuck, man. This led to thousands and thousands of comments,
Somebody showed me, so one of my friends who owns a very large company showed me. And it's not a company that you guys would know, so don't fucking speculate, assholes. It's somebody that you'd never guess who it is because you have no idea who it is. It's not that kind of company. Anyways, they did an anti-racism seminar, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's like do's and don'ts, things to do, things to don't do. The last thing to don't do is never praise a police officer, ever, in all capital letters. Ever in all capital letters. And then it says, instead, spend your money or give your compliments to a black woman. Not even kidding. What the fuck does that mean?
I don't know.
Like, are you so fragile as a black woman that my fucking opinion as a white man who you clearly don't respect means that much to you? Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, what are we doing here?
I'm telling you, man, if you go out into the world, dude, for real, and just chat with people, like real people.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of racism. You really don't.
No.
The media wants us to all hate each other, but fuck, man. I don't. And we've been in like every fucking city you can be in at this point.
Yeah, if you want to see and experience real racism, go to Europe. Go be a black person in Europe and see how they speak to you over there.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot less kind than the way people treat you here. I promise you that.
But I don't. Here's the thing. From black people, I don't really fucking hear it or see it, dude. For real.
None of my black people are talking about it. The only black people I hear talking about racism on a day-to-day basis are pundits in the media and fucking young people who we've spoken about before reviewing The Calling of the American Mind. These people have been fed post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms.
Yeah.
Like, is how to live your life. It's crazy.
So crazy.
I don't believe any of that shit. There is absolutely racism. There are also mechanisms inside of our institutions, whether it be government or the military or policing or whatever it is, that have disparate effects, negative effects on particular races rather than others. That is absolute fact. That is not racism, right? When people say race, the problem is people are talking about two different things. Mainstream folks are talking about when they say racism, they're talking about racial prejudice. Like, I hate that,
right?
And when other people who are woke are talking about it, they're talking about institutions that have some kind of negative racial bias, right? That's not the same fucking thing. And trying to compare the two just so you can get to use the word racist to identify somebody or some group or some fucking some institution, that is called intellectually dishonest, motherfucker. Yeah. That's like referring to something as terrorism when they're not.
Yeah.
Like a white dude going into an Asian massage parlor and shooting them up because he's fucking nuts and has some kind of weird ass fetish for Asian people or whatever the fuck.
He was in love with those fucking girls.
That's not terrorism.
Yeah.
Okay. Terrorism is very clearly defined, not clearly, but it's specifically defined by the FBI as violence or the threat of violence towards some political end. Like, I'm trying to achieve a political end through violence or the threat of violence. Antifa, for example, that's terrorism.
Yeah.
Dylann Roof, not terrorism. Because what was the political goal there? It doesn't make it less bad that he murdered people. They're just trying to use that word because it's a fucking hot button word.
Mm.
But that is bullshit. That's not how it's supposed to fucking work. And these people are full of shit. And that's why nobody fucking believes them. And that's why the problem doesn't get solved. It's the ultimate cry wolf. And it's been going on for decades now.
And it continues. And like, look, the media just keeps getting worse and worse about it. But when I read that over the weekend, I was like, what the fuck? DJ Davies says, props to Papa G and Dirty Dan. The video quality is incredible. Did you guys do something different?
Yeah.
I see all the new screens and everything.
Yeah. We're just going directly from the source, really.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hopefully it looks Congratulations. Good.
Yeah. Look at that. Look at that.
You know, proud of you.
Yeah. Good for all of that.
Yeah.
I look, I was in the fucking sun. Who knows? You know, I can't tell if I look. I am sunburned in real life. So this
we've officially done our job.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, congrats to us for doing the
better. We wasn't happy with that fucking wide last night, but, you know.
What wide? You're talking about on the fight?
Yeah.
Well, we tried to have all your book labels facing out so you could see them. There was nothing else to prop that shit up on, really, in the office that looked good. So,
were you guys screening it off of that fucking thing back there?
Yeah. Yeah, I was sitting right here in the middle. What we need to do is probably get some kind of suspension system to have it right up here, right? And then build a rig up on top of this thing.
There was a rig, by the way, there was a rig back here and the thing came down over there. But this is real. I did get sunburned on Friday.
Oh yeah. I did at that baseball game. So I went to a baseball game last Saturday.
Yeah.
In Phoenix. Well, surprise, Arizona. Surprise. Remember Jared?
Yeah.
Surprise.
Yeah. Fucking surprise.
That's one of my favorite things of all time. Actually, when I was calling Benny to get the tickets for the game, I was like, oh, it's in Surprise, Arizona. And that's the first thing that popped in my head. Every time I hear or see the word surprise, it's Jared Taylor sitting at a fucking keyboard, long hair, clearly hasn't showered, missed our fucking staff meeting because he got blacked out at 8 a.m. at the fucking pool on the cruise. And he's like, surprise, you didn't think I'd make it, did you? Like, well, you didn't make it, motherfucker. No. We just got out of an hour-long meeting. You set that you didn't attend.
That was the Wonderwall incident that's videoed as well.
You can find that video, yeah.
It's up. It's on our Instagram. It's on Drinking Bros Podcast.
I think Danny
Instagram.
Warstop is a little bit to blame for that, too.
Probably. Yeah.
But that's good. I'm fine. It was a great
time.
I'm
fine with it. I'm fine with it all the way around. Speaking of which, I know we said we were going to Indianapolis for the Final Four. So here's the weird thing, man. You guys have been watching the games. How about you're still wearing the Liberty jersey? You just came through. So what? You got, 29 days to wear it? Yeah, 28. You got to wear it for a month straight for losing that bet to me. If you can't see him, it is on him. There it is.
Yeah. Boom.
It's like when he comes to work, he has to put on his hard hat. He puts on his
hat. Yeah, dude. Yeah. You gotta wear that Liberty jersey.
Although he kept it on. So he got rocked last night and then went with Adam and the guys, some other comedians, to go down and party on 6th Street. And it took a tumble, I guess.
Oh, that's hilarious. I was wondering why it was dirty. It's by the way,
he
so
says he wouldn't know.
It's reversible, and the only one I could get was off of eBay.
It's
and,
like it, a and it's jersey,
yeah. No, it's but it's an actual player's jersey.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's washed.
22. You should do 22 push-ups a day for
whatever. Ever a veteran. Yeah. with that, I've been watching the games this weekend. So, you know, obviously we own drinkingbrostickets.com. We're in this for the long haul. We know that, you know, a lot of these stadiums are 20% capacity and all this other shit. They keep pulling the tickets back and forth for the games. Like last night's games, there was like 52 people there. Do you guys know the story behind it? I don't know. I had to deal with some family stuff this weekend. So.
But if we right now we would need to be booking travel already. We should have already booked it if we were going to go. But you can't, like, we don't want to lock in travel and then have to cancel that if all the fucking tickets and shit don't come through. And there's no reason to be in Indianapolis except for to watch these basketball games. Let's be real.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We're probably not going to end up there, to be honest.
I looked at it last, I was watching the games yesterday, right? There was no one. And then now they've got the drinks separated in cubby holes on the court. Man. I got a bunch of messages of that of like, hey, why is the Gatorade in cubby holes now? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't understand what's going on in Indianapolis. You know, us as having a ticket company and all that shit, like they'll go up on the site and then just disappear within hours. And it's clearly at the NCAA's discretion. I don't know if there's something going on behind the scenes where they are worried about a COVID outbreak or if it's happened. But so far, to my knowledge, only one team is backed out of the tournament, and that was it, right?
Yeah, VCU.
Yeah, VCU. But if you're out there, the reason I'm saying this, and you're trying to get tickets for all this stuff, there aren't any. I don't know what they're doing and why. It's really odd. And then when you watch it on television, it looks like a kind of like high school bleachers behind them where they're all just up in a row where you're looking at a high school game. The ratings are doing good, but shit, I don't understand what is happening there. Now, The event that is going on in Texas that we are going to is that Canelo fight.
Mm-hmm.
And they're allowing 60,000 people there. And tickets, what, sold out in like 15 minutes or something crazy? Yeah. So there is a gigantic demand for live sports and everything else. So Texas is open. And they just had their, what, 17th straight day of like record low numbers even after the opening. So
right.
Good on Texas. But they're open. And then the other one is Tyson Holyfield, I believe is confirmed for May 29th. And that's going to be at that 60,000 seat stadium in Florida. So is it just going to be Texas and Florida that are doing like outdoor shit?
I don't know, man. To be honest, I don't know why the NCAA is having such a hard time right now, because their players are between 18 and 22 years old typically. And I gotta be honest, I'm looking at the CDC website right here. The 18 to 29 bracket, total of 1,200 deaths from COVID.
Yeah.
Total.
Yeah.
For this entire, since January of 2020.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's extremely rare that it would even happen in the first place, but that it would might happen to some of the most athletic in that age group, literally no chance.
Mm.
Like, what major fucking athlete or in-shape person have you heard dying from COVID that wasn't over 65 years old?
Not one.
This is absolute fucking nonsense.
Dingus McConnellingus is from Indianapolis, and he's saying Indianapolis is trying to keep the numbers down so they can go full rage for the Indy 500 in May.
Maybe.
Ah, that would make sense.
So
because
the Indy 500, you're talking about somewhere between 500,000 and 800,000 total appearance. Or
yeah.
So like inside the fucking the track, you're talking about 150 maybe, something like that. Maybe 170 if they have standing room.
It's a crazy infield number, yeah.
But the outside campgrounds and stuff, and this is the same thing in Sonoma and a couple of the other big ones. There's like a couple hundred extra thousand people out there in RVs that just like want to be close to the, they just want to hear the sound of the fucking cars. They don't even go into the goddamn racetrack.
Okay.
They literally travel around, sit in their RV with a TV outside the RV, drink beers, and they can hear the race while they're watching it on TV.
Like, okay.
It's wild, to be honest, but I can understand that. That makes a lot of fucking financial sense, because they're not going to make a whole lot of money on attendance for the three games in the final
four. No. Okay. That makes more sense now. Cause I kept watching this and like, you know, again, the tickets will go up and then they'll go down and they'll just be ripped. No sales or anything, because we get to see the back end of it, and there's no sales or nothing. They'll just be gone.
Mm-hmm.
So that would make more sense. That's their biggest moneymaker there, is the Indy 500. When is that? When is that? Memorial Day weekend?
I don't know what the dates are.
I know Kentucky Derby is the first week of May.
It's the last weekend of May.
Okay. Yeah, that would make sense.
We're more likely to go to the Kentucky Derby, obviously, than, I mean, we're going to try to go to
Kentucky. Is Kentucky open? I haven't heard anything about Kentucky.
I mean, it's Kentucky. Isn't that where, what's that turtle name that's...
I mean, it's Kentucky, you know?
What's that senator's name that looks like a turtle?
McConnell.
Mm.
Mitch McConnell, is he there?
I think so, right?
Is he out of Kentucky?
Yeah, it's him and fucking Rand Paul.
Ah.
So you got to think something is going on there.
Something's going on down in Kentucky. I'm not sure, but that is the first week of May. And then I know the Canelo fight is on May 8th in Dallas.
Yeah, we're going to be there with Chuck.
60,000 people.
Adam. We're going to do a show from Cowboy Stadium.
Yep.
That'll be fun.
That'll be a blast. And that and those tickets are out into the world.
Yeah,
so
you can get those.
60,000 people inside the stadium. And to my knowledge, that'll be the biggest ticketed event in the United States since COVID has started.
Since March of last year.
Yeah. Yeah. The other one is the UFC that sold out down in Miami, and I believe that's 15,000.
Yeah, that's not close to the same
thing. No, but it sold out in, I think, 4 minutes. So they're doing it, but it only feels like it's Florida and Texas who are hopping on this train. Yeah. I did see a festival, though, Rob. Pull that one up for... It's a bunch of people, like Billie Eilish and somebody else. And that one sold out in 15 minutes. And that's it was 100,000 people, but I don't know what state that was in. And they just put tickets up maybe a week ago, 2 weeks ago. And it's in September, I believe.
Billie Eilish. Now, you think she's going to make any kind of statement on the concentration camps down at the border?
Probably.
She was a big fan of Biden, didn't like Trump that much because of some of his policies regarding immigration. So I wonder if she's going to go ahead and walk that back now that we see these kids wrapped up in thermal blankets like burritos, sleeping in fucking glass cubes.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Right? I haven't seen any photos from the border.
Have you? I'm going to hold my breath. No, the press is not being allowed.
Is that real?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
No, CNN actually reported on that. Why is Biden not letting the press? Why is the Biden administration not letting the press down there?
Yes. Well, why do you think? He said he would release everyone day one of the presidency.
Oh, well, so. You know, he didn't, so.
No. Bob, you can't find that concert, huh? Type in Billie Eilish festival. Tickets sold out.
She's going to be at Life is Beautiful in Vegas.
There we go. Yep. Oh, so Vegas.
Yeah, it's Vegas Motor Speedway. It's the big EDC, big Vegas.
Yeah, yeah.
Motor Speedway. We actually get some friends there that run Dream Racing. If you ever want to go spend a bunch of money and race like the literal GT race cars from Indy, from they have stock cars from NASCAR, they have Indy cars, they got fucking all the Porsche and Ferrari and Lamborghini fucking GT versions. You can drive anything you want. It's dope as fuck.
All right, so if they did that, does that mean Vegas is going to be open by September? Because that'd be
great. Yeah, Vegas is open fully in May.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's what they said.
Ooh. I'd love to go to a Raiders game up there.
That's what
that stadium looks
We were talking to Dirty Curdy about that earlier. He wants to go to – he's a big Raiders fan, right?
Yeah.
Grew up out there. So, there's a game – actually, the Raiders are playing in Dallas this year too, and he wants to go to that game. But then they're playing the Raiders stadium is supposed to be completely 100% open.
That would be great. That would be great. That stadium looks rad. And then I know April 29th, we're doing an NFL draft show live all night. Everybody asks about that. That was the show that was burned, I think. We burned that show. We had some storms, some weather issues in North Carolina. Power went out about 8 times. Apparently, we were on air, and we didn't know it. I don't know what was said and what wasn't said, Dan, but that show no longer exists. However, we are going to do one that night, and I believe the Tailgate Legends of Eric Tanzi and Boston Joe are going to come out for that as well, and then we'll try to do a rematch with him and Jesse, and then because that'll be, shit, like a 5-hour show that night.
Yeah.
I remember we got rocks last year. Holy shit.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
And now that the Eagles have traded all of their shit, it looks like quarterbacks are going to be 1, 2, 3, and 4. So that's going to be a fun fucking night, man. We'll be live on the YouTubes for that. So I'm looking forward. Somebody's saying put that show on Patreon. Craig, it's Craigers. It doesn't exist. That show does not exist.
It wasn't. We didn't mean. Actually, it kind of worked out that way. We actually didn't mean to lose the fucking episode.
No. It
fucked up.
Yeah. It was literally just gone. I think that was if memory serves me correct, I'll give you the backstory for it. YouTube has a built-in thing on the back where they'll just kind of keep going live and pick up where you were if you lose power or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And that was like the first day that they started it, and we didn't know, and it was a shit show, but
yeah.
It definitely does not exist anymore. He's talking about put this year's draft show on Patreon. I think we'll be able to go live with it, I think.
How fucked up
are we going to get? Falcons have the 4th pick.
Well, we might be. That's the last weekend, and that's the Kentucky Derby weekend.
Yes, it is.
We might be doing it with Rob O'Neill if he's coming out to the...
Yeah, is he coming to the Derby?
Trying to work on it, yeah. I don't know what his schedule's like, but we're working on that one.
Is the Derby open?
I don't know.
I don't either, man. I hope this shit's a fucking mystery.
This woman that we're helping with to start a charity where she reclaims Mustang horses from Bureau of Land Management. They collect them in the wild, and they basically just sit in pens and wait to die. So people like her collect them and put them out to pasture or whatever the fuck and let them hang out. But what she's doing is putting them through the gentling process, which if you're a horse person, you know what that means. I'm not going to get into it, but basically put a vet that's going through some shit through the gentling process with that horse, and then if they want, they get to keep the horse afterwards, right?
Yeah.
It's a pretty dope little nonprofit she's trying to start, so we're trying to help her with that. She suggested that we make a montage video of all of us going out to a fucking clothing store before and picking out each other's clothes, because it's ridiculous. If you've never seen the goddamn Kentucky Derby, it's just a bunch of assholes and dumbass shit. And the real issue the Friday night before the race, everybody goes out to all these parties and gets fucking wrecked.
Yeah.
And then comes back and immediately starts drinking in the morning.
You have to.
You know what I mean? Like you see a lot of glassy eyes and a lot of stupid hats. It's a fun time.
One of the most fucked up times I've ever been in my life was at the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah.
Because there's also like this, I don't want to, it's not like, I wouldn't say it's a contest, but like there's an inside joke of how you can sneak liquor into the Derby if you're in the infield.
It's not that hard.
People bring like birthday cakes and they do pat you down.
Aesthetically in a dry county, right? Isn't that a dry county?
I think. But you can buy the mint juleps once you're in there. My God, man, I was rocked at the fucking Derby. It's one of the best times ever.
Well, you and I have snuck alcohol into everything. Bigger events than that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe not bigger events, but definitely more security than that.
The one that I will say is impossible. And if you can do it, good on you. Yes, the Masters, you can't get anything.
No, they
Masters.
Have you bent over. Remember that South Park episode? I need to take a look at your asshole.
Yep.
That's them. They're bent over. They got a flashlight looking through a fucking binocular into your butthole to make sure you're not sneaking anything in. The joke's on them. My butthole's way deeper than they thought.
Yeah.
So
way deeper.
Yeah.
That was the other event. We were supposed to do the live show with John Daly at the Masters. Yeah. Tickets are only on sale for practice rounds.
Yeah.
And then I think it's 20% to family and, you know.
Yeah, there's no point.
For the OGs, we'll ask John what he's going to do.
Yeah,
but
I don't know if John will even go because he's so anti all this shit.
I doubt it. Yeah.
He's just going to be, I mean, he might go there and raise some hell and try to fuck some people up. But
I wish he would just fucking get in. Did he win the Masters? No. Is he allowed in the Masters? No, he's not.
He won the PGA and the British Open.
Shit. Because if he was a lifetime Masters guy, like for him just to show up barefoot and juice it would be great. But yeah, man, we're still in the stages of this fucking thing with the virus where it's like, some things are kind of open, not really open. The guy at CVS told me to put a mask on when I got into Texas today, and I told him to go fuck himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. He hands me this mask, and he goes, sir, you have to have this mask. And I was like, great. So I just held the mask, bought my shit, and then walked out. I never put the mask on. Just held it in my hands. I was like, I'm not doing this, whatever that is. Because we're all done with that here.
Yep.
About to go to a fucking boxing match. 60,000 people.
Yeah. But speaking of fighting, do you see that bobblehead that Chuck gave me right there?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Signed a box and everything. He brought it in as a gift yesterday. And I was like, oh, this is cool.
That's awesome.
I was like, I didn't know that he was giving me a gift because he and I, neither one of us make facial expressions.
No.
So it's hard to communicate with one another unless you just say things directly out loud. He just walked up and didn't say a fucking word. He just handed me the box.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, cool. Did you find yourself and buy this? Like, did you find this out? Because they were shopping all day. Did you just find this out in town somewhere? And his wife was like, no, that's for you. I'm like, oh, thanks for communicating to me what the fuck is happening right now. I guess that's what I need.
He doesn't smile in pictures either.
No, he doesn't. Unless he's trying to be funny.
Yeah.
That's the only time he ever does it. So, yeah, I think I need something like he's got with his wife there where I have a communicate. It's like a translator to translate my emotions. Like, oh, Dan's actually happy right now. Like, oh, sweet. So we don't need to be afraid that he keeps staring at us like that. Yeah, that's what I need. I need a fucking translator.
The two of you guys, dude. Let's get to the drinking bro of the week, shall we? As always, you can go to drinkingbros.com, submit the drinking bro of the week, and it just comes live to us, like right in the inbox.
Yep.
We don't screen them. We just pull them up live as we see them, and then whatever happens, happens. So if it's super fucked up, it's super fucked up. It is what it is. This week's drinking bro of the week, submitted by Beth from Texas. She's been a drinking bro for 6 months. She's nominating Jonathan. I'm nominating Jonathan because he has been an inspiration to me. He has helped me follow through with things I never thought I could accomplish. He's a dedicated dad and has been a great friend over the years. He's been with you guys for years and years and is the one that turned me on to you lovable assholes. I'm hooked, and I just want to say that he lays the pipe like a champ and he doesn't need Roman. I'm scared of the party boner you're trying to talk him into. Thank you. It's real.
Proud of you, buddy. Just want to say that I'm really proud of you. Not about not needing the Roman. I'm proud that you've made a woman afraid of your penis.
Oh, there is no last names on here for good reason. Whenever there's no last name, I'm like, I wonder what's going to happen here.
I'll find Beth out and who Jonathan. It is. I'll go full on fucking Nancy Drew style, like the female meme FBI agent looking shit. Find out who these two people are, right?
Yeah.
And I want to watch them fuck, to be honest. If it's that good, I want to see it. Like, hey. Don't tell me, like, if you're, let me just say this. If you walk in today, somebody walked in today like, hey, man, I just had the best fucking burger of my life. Like, this is the best thing I've ever put in my mouth. Swear to God. I'm like, whoa, where'd you get it? Like, I don't want to say.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? I can't have it too? Like, no, I don't want to say, you know. Like, no, I need to experience it also. If you're out there fucking like that, I need to see.
Yes.
See, that's just how it is. And if it doesn't happen, I'm going to fucking find you. I promise you that.
So Beth and Jonathan, you got to give a video to Dan here.
Yeah.
Because if you're scared of the party boner, that means his real boner is pretty
and
sweet.
And if he's such a good goddamn dad, make a baby on that bed.
Yeah.
Put another one out there in the world and I'll get you a free ghost bed, you piece of shit.
Boom. All you need to do is send in the video of the actual conception of the baby.
Yep.
And then the crowning.
The birth, yeah. But the birth can be in a hospital. I'm not asking you to put your child's life in danger for a bed.
Yeah. And after watching that Netflix movie with Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
Oof. We don't need any homers.
No. But what you do need is to, you know, don't pull out, I guess.
Yeah,
but I need to see it. Like, I need to see the sex, then I need to see the cum inside.
Yeah.
Like, so
you need to see the cream pie.
Whatever you got to do to make that happen.
Yeah, Dan needs to see the cream pie.
Yeah.
And then he's also got, we need to see the crowning as well.
This isn't for me, by the way. That's just how I happen to verify things. I don't get any joy out of that.
Yeah.
I get a little bit of joy out of it. I get a considerable amount of joy out of it.
Tiny bit of joy.
Again, it's not about that. Just because I get joy out of it doesn't mean that, you know, that it's not also for you.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Of course. So, you know, again, conception, crowning, free mattress. That's kind of the way that things work here.
Yeah.
So, Andrew Golden says he's asking me to do one. Look, I think we're stopping at two. I think we're I'm all done with I think two. I'm not sure. I think so. I think two. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to say we because, I feel anytime a dude's like, oh, yeah, we're pregnant. I'm like, no, we're not.
No, we're not pregnant. The
woman that's carrying around the fucking parasite inside of her is
sure.
All you did was fuck your wife.
Yeah.
That's what you always do.
Yeah.
You didn't do anything special.
What's that?
Yeah, Bob says we because he's a piece of shit. Yeah. Bob, who, by the way, was rolling around in the street on 6th Street in Austin last night with his pregnant wife at home, he says we, and that's the kind of person that says we.
Yep.
See what I'm saying?
A guy wears a jersey out at night.
Thank you for making my point, you goddamn son of a bitch.
Dirties it up. somebody's saying cream pies for science. Let me ask you this, Bob. Are we allowed to say who the comedians you were out with last night?
Oh, it was Adam Ray, yeah.
Oh, it was Adam, and was there anybody else from the...
I can't remember. Off the top of my head,
good
I can't remember the guy's name. He's the guy just moved here to Austin. He's really fucking funny, very funny. We'll have him on the show soon. I can't remember.
Okay. Derek Poston.
Derek Poston. That's it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Derek. Right. He's super funny. Actually, I'm doing a show with them on Wednesday. God, I don't want to spoil it. What they do is they watch. They get really high and then fucking watch '90s movies.
What's the name of the show? What's the name of their show?
I don't remember the name of that show.
We'll give it a quick promo. By the way, and go to Tailgate Legends, too. They got a new show up on the Drinking Bros sports feed right now. So they just watch 90s movies and make fun of it?
I mean, I guess it's technically... it's on About Last Night, so it's on Adam's podcast feed.
Oh, it is? Okay, yeah. Great.
So Adam's got his own podcast about... If you want to go over before these new episodes from Icebreaker's release and get to know who he is as a comedian and shit.
Right.
He posts a ton of clips on Instagram, so you can find it there, too. Super fucking funny guy. But if you want to go hear him do interviews and shit, you can go to About Last Night.
Yeah,
it's really good.
That's funny, man.
I think he just had Adam Devine from Workaholics on last week.
He did.
Week. Yeah, super funny.
He's got a huge guest on fucking Tuesday, too.
Yeah, he's going to be doing it here.
Yeah.
Inside
the studios, yeah. I don't like to, whenever it's somebody huge like this, I'm always worried they're going to bounce. Where you're like, man, when it's in the can, we'll tell you.
Yeah.
Like Wednesday's show will be massive where it's just like, holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big one.
Childhood hero.
It's a big one, but it's also not a big one.
Yeah. Well,
clip.
Just keep that in the back of your mind. And then once that show airs, you'll know exactly what we're talking about because that's a little inside joke right there.
Hashtag CDC.
Yeah.
Oh, that's this one. That's this show.
Is this show up? Well, they'll probably pull this.
Who knows?
A lot of people are asking about the Andrew Schultz thing. I read that, by the way. They pulled the Alex Jones video.
Oh, yeah. I'm kind of high. Do we have Mini-Me on the episode?
Who?
Never mind.
Oh, Vern Troyer?
Yeah.
He's dead. RIP. He died about 3 years ago.
What are you talking about?
Mini-Me.
Why is he talking about him, though?
He thought Vern Troyer was going to be on the show. He would be, but he's dead. He's dead.
Oh, yeah. He's been dead for some time now.
Yeah.
I mean, we could drag his body out here, I guess, but that wouldn't be really entertaining for anybody other than people that have a dead midget fetish.
Maybe, yeah. But we did get a lot of messages about Andrew Schultz's podcast having Alex Jones on, and then, you know, oh my God, they get millions of viewers. Why did they stop yours? Well, they stopped his too, and they had to pull that down from YouTube. So I think Alex is probably a Patreon guest only now, which is a shame.
Are you teasing something we don't know about, Ross?
Could be, you know. I'll say
go
this.
Go ahead and subscribe now to the Patreon.
Yeah, yeah. Go to Drinking Bros Podcast Patreon. We'll have Alex Jones back on. But we like to wait for something big with him where it's like, hey, let's really go ham. I think, dude, is the Insurrection one still up there? Yeah, that's still on Patreon. Yeah.
Still on there.
Dude, that was, I think, our lead off of Patreon. That was a fucking wild episode for like an hour and a half, and yeah. I don't think I've ever heard him like that. So he was like 48 hours after he got back from the Capitol thing.
Have Alex and Chuck ever met?
Great question.
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, that's such a they're so hyper famous, both of them.
Yeah.
Probably at some point they've at least run into each other, you would think.
That's the weird thing. So did Chuck go out with you guys last night?
Yeah.
He did.
What's yeah. that? Well, no. He was here last night, but Friday night we all went out. We went to Here Nor There, Nick's place.
I don't
know if you've been to that private club. I don't know if you've been there, but it's super dope. Very chill place.
Because Chuck has looked the same for like 20 years. We said 30. This on, 30 years. We said this on last week's yeah. show. Were people coming up to him just being like, oh.
No, because it's like one of those places where people leave you alone, right? It's kind of like the private club we go to is called Pershing, right?
Yep.
And if you want to, the reason we go there is because there's no photography. So if we need to take famous people there, they don't get bothered. And it's not because, look, people that are that famous are used to people coming up asking for pictures and autographs and shit. They don't care. Most of the time, they don't care.
No.
But if we're trying to actually conduct a business meeting,
yeah.
then we can't stop every 5 minutes for that shit to happen. And it's also really distracting when people are standing 10 feet away, clearly waiting for a picture. Because we're nice people. We're just like, come on over here and get your picture, bro.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
We don't give a shit. But we also need a place where we could do the business stuff.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Pershing's dope. This place is the same. Here nor there. It's in downtown Austin.
Chuck yeah, Liddell is one of those guys where everybody loves him.
Yeah.
Like, nobody dislikes Chuck Liddell.
And he's a super nice guy, too. Yeah.
The homeless people actually stopped begging for money to come talk to Chuck.
Yeah. Did they really?
Yeah, yeah. We were
just running up to him.
We were walking from Vulcan Comedy Club, which is the fucking great comedy club.
Right? It is, yes.
Love that place. Our boy Brandon over there is hooking us up with a bunch of guests and shit. So we were walking from there over to Here Nor There, right through 6th Street. It's kind of a mini South by Southwest right now. It's not nearly as crowded because usually it looks like the French Quarter down there.
Mm-hmm.
It's standing room only in the street, and they have all the shit closed down. This one, I would say 30, 40% of the usual, probably, something like that. But there's still live music in all the bars and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
So we were walking through the street anyways, and there's people everywhere, and literally homeless people stopped panhandling to come over. Oh, Chuck, man.
That's great.
Chuck, so he's got his people. The real Chuck Liddell fan is on fucking homeless guy.
Know your audience.
Yeah.
Somebody's asking if it's Jen Paskey on the show next week. No. We're going to circle back with her.
She's not.
We're going to circle back with her.
Although we do have Dana Perino, the former White House press secretary under Bush, coming on soon.
Yes. And there was somebody else, too, that you should peek over at the schedule. I'll be real curious to hear this one from you. We'll have to chat about it off air.
Well, Brett Saberhagen is one former pitcher for the Royals.
No, hey, look, he's awesome, but yeah. He's going to be on the show this week. But there's somebody else that I don't think you really looked into.
That I didn't.
It's going to be really funny.
Is it the guy that's coming on with the other guy?
No, somebody else. That's all I'm going to say. We'll this one's an off air thing because I don't think that guy's going to follow through with this, but we'll see. There's some people that you're like, once they figure out what this the Drinking Bros is they're not going to do the show. No.
Okay, because he's definitely coming on.
No.
They reached out to us.
No, that's somebody else.
All right,
somebody else.
We'll have to get into this off air.
Guys, I'm real curious your thoughts. When I looked up the name, I was like, why does that name sound familiar? And then I looked him up and I was like, oh, Dan has definitely not read this one.
Well, sometimes, you know, I'll give people the benefit. It's called.
We did too. I'll talk to anybody. I don't give a shit.
It's called the principle of charity.
Yes, I don't give a shit. Right. I'll talk to anybody, anytime, anywhere. I'm able to have a nice, honest conversation with anyone. I don't really care.
Oh, I'm not going to have a nice conversation, but I'll have an honest one.
It'll be a funny one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be funny for me.
Yeah. Yeah. So stay tuned for that. We had a bunch of fucking wild ass shit going on over here.
Mm-hmm.
This is fun. We've never done a show on a Sunday afternoon before. I enjoy this. Yeah, I don't know. Nice. I don't know if the audience will. We'll see.
It's like, I was told recently that this is a cowboy brand, Ariat or Ariat. I don't know how you say it.
Oh, that hat?
Yeah,
I like that.
But hat. I just like this hat. It's a 110 branded hat.
Mm, this one, that's the model. Bill Schofield sent me this one. It says Hendersonville, North Carolina. Mm. Just cool hat.
I mean, that's you could definitely buy that at a truck stop.
Yeah, right.
That's
yeah.
Those are there. There's always some fun, quirky hats at truck stops. Jack Mandeville's got a bunch.
Yeah,
he bought one at a Buc-ee's and it just said it had a scorpion on it, and he just called himself Scorpion for 3 months. He would only respond if you called him Scorpion. I was like, dude, we got stuff to do, man.
I like that.
I can't do this anymore.
I like that. A bunch of people are trying to guess that guess. You'll never guess it in a million years. I'll tell you who it is. Well, shit. We'll see if he comes on. I'll tell you after the show. Mm. So we'll end it here, kids. But know that we love you, and we will be back at you tomorrow.
Mm.
I don't know what time.
With Sean Mattson, 1:30 Central.
Is that what time Sean's on?
1:30 Central, yeah.
Great. And we're going to ask him why he's deciding to try to break the Guinness Book of World Record for the mile in a bomb suit. Holy shit.
80 pounds.
Is he doing it outdoors or is it on a treadmill?
I don't know. No, it's definitely outdoors.
Okay.
It's four laps.
Oof. Around a track?
1,600 meters.
Yeesh.
Fuck that. No, dude. I'm crazy. No chance I'm doing that. I wouldn't even run a mile. Look, if it was between running a mile and getting murdered by whatever's chasing me, I'm going to get murdered.
Yeah.
I'm not running a mile. I'm not going to die tired. I'll say that.
No.
I'll die fresh and full of energy. Like, all right, fuck this. Let's do it.
Look, you can go just support Sean at cardomax.com. Promo code DB. Buy one, get one, kids. We appreciate you stopping by today. Go to iTunes, rate the show a 5-star and leave a review. That really is what keeps us in the charts. It's not the amount of listeners or any of that stuff. So leave a 5-star and a review. And that is all we ask from you today. We love you. For D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. We are the Drinking Bros. Good night, everyone.